You know, I want to touch on something here because it is important to know this much. Because I'm reading now where it says, and I'm glad we have this example to go by. Because he said, I'm reading in Mark when they talk about the word being sown and those that whose ground is fertile and whose ground is not. And there'll be some who hear the word and the word will be taken from them. And there'll be some that will read the word or hear the word and won't apply it to their life. And a lot of people love to holler about grace. A lot of people love to talk about they God and they know God. It's one thing to read the word, but it's another to apply it. It's one thing to read it, but do you have a sound interpretation of this word? And it's foolish to have a conversation with somebody who said that they have read the Bible, but they know nothing about the word. They have no interpretation. They don't have a clear understanding of the word. You can listen to all the preachers that you want to, but you don't even have a relationship with God. So what you defend is God said we should love everybody and not judge, and that's your only defense in the reason why and the way that you live your life. But as we get deeper into the word, and those are babes in Christ, okay, because you learn the love of God, okay, but as you get deeper into the word and get a clear sound revelation of this word, guess what happens? His word begins to unfold and reveal. His word begins to expose. And then those are they that will have a problem with those that know, that can see, that can interpret. Because the Bible declares, he said, although it says to love your neighbor as you love yourself, be mindful that the word also states that to love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your might and all your soul. If you keep my commandments and walk in my ways, come on, you'll be blessed and you love me. The Bible also states that if you are a friend of the world, God says you are not a friend of mine. And as you begin your walk and your journey and get closer and get a deeper revelation of this word, you begin to understand that a relationship is far more important than anything in this world. And it is important to know that if you have a let's look at it like this. If you have a relationship with someone, there is a respect and an honor that you may have for that person. You may look up to that person, right? You may have this deep sincerity and adoration for this person. And why do you have that? Because there's an emotional thing. An emotional factor says that you care. You are sympathetic. You love this person. And that is a choice and a decision that you make. Right? Outside of other emotions that you could have towards someone. So when you are in a relationship, whether it's a friendship, a platonic relationship, whatever, whether it's a marriage, girlfriend and boyfriend, spouse, significant other, best friend, you have a respect for that person. That means that you guys connect and you have an understanding of who he is or and who she is, and there's an understanding of what they like and what they don't like and what they want and they don't want. So there's a portion in the Bible that states God declares that if you walk in my ways and keep my commandments, right? God says, if you're a friend of the world, you're not a friend of mine. Come on. He says in Ezekiel, he said his heart was broken by the way the children of Israel continued to go after other gods rather than seeking him first. Come on. You went to validation. You went to the witch and the wizard and the warlock. You went to the fake and the false prophet. You went to other friends. You went to your friends and people that you have the utmost respect for. Come on. But but you don't have the utmost respect for God. So when he says, keep my commandments and walk in my ways, love me with all your heart and your might and your soul, that includes that you care about the things that he likes and he dislikes. And so what we have begun to do is say, grace got me covered. Come on here now. Yes, Jesus sit among, he sat among sinners, but what did they do? They were able to glean from him, learn from him. Come on here. They were able to hear the word that was being taught, and they brought about a change, and they developed an utmost respect for him. Come on here now. Those that follow him, somebody said one time that didn't nobody follow Jesus. Okay, well, we know that's a mistake, and that's a lie, and that's poor influence and poor representation of Christ. But yet, we do still have people that say, I've read the Bible. I had a conversation with a person that said, I've read the Bible front and back. But yet, we're having a conversation of how they've made the mistake. They read the Bible front and back. And not only that, they have participated in every auxiliary of their church. Their pastor, who did not even know them that well, with by word of mouth of all the things that they've done in their prior church. But yet you are on the phone with me talking about you need a refund from the psychic network because you paid them almost $300 and something. Come on here now. I find something wrong with you saying that you know God because you've read the Bible, but you have yet no relationship from God. Because if you're looking and seeking for word and clarity about your life, and you need peace and tranquility, we know that all of that is found in the presence of the Lord. Here's another thing that is missing. God said, and here's another thing, those that love him are not ashamed of him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think that we need to rethink this thing. And then you say you're saved. So you go to him every week, you ask for forgiveness and ask for repentance, yet, and he still calls you by your name. See, when you have a relationship with God, he calls you sons and daughters. Yes, he does. And you call him father. Yes. He calls you sons and daughters. See, when you don't know him and you've never heard him physically speak or audibly speak to you, he has to acknowledge you, and you have to hear your name being called. How do you know when you're in a crowd of people that you don't know and around people you don't know, you've never been around, you're not familiar with? The only way you're going to acknowledge, the only thing you're going to acknowledge is your name. So he has to call you by your name because you don't know him yet. Okay. And that's nothing wrong with that. You're just a babe in Christ and you're still on milk. And that's okay, because at some point you will begin to eat meat. But the scales have to fall off your eyes. Your heart has to be circumcised. Come on here now. We can't be out here blind leading the blind. You've got to get to know him. And he, if you read the Bible, like most of you profess, I know what the Bible say, yet you still have no relationship with him. You'll see and understand that this is the desire that our Father, our Heavenly Father, our Creator has. And he loved us so much. He said he knew that there would be, that there had to be a separation. He saw the wheat grow with the tare. He knew the fake and the false and the phony would come to influence those that he loved and those that are his. He knew that you would go after other gods. He knew that you would be misled. So he sent his son, his only begotten son. He sent his son to die for you. I often think about when he told Abraham that he had to sacrifice his son. And I think about what was going on in his mind, but I could see, seeing it from God's standpoint now, he had to test to see where his heart was. And a lot of us, remember the Bible says, the heart is deceitfully wicked, who can know it? A lot of us haven't when he does that, we don't pass the test. He has to make sure that we are who we say we are, that we really truly love him. Because we could be blinded by stuff. We could be blinded by things that really shouldn't matter, things that you can't even take with you. We could be blinded, and we know that the enemy can tempt us with things, and then we'll say we with God 1 minute, and then the next minute, as soon as we get that money, as soon as we get that car or that house, that spouse that we prayed for, come on here now, as soon as we get what we petitioned the Lord for, we don't know him anymore, and then we go back to serving our other gods. Come on here now. Some of us are still ashamed. Ooh, don't say that name. Don't say that word. Don't sing that song. Some of us are still publicly ashamed to profess his name, publicly to say that I stand for the truth and I stand for the word of God. I have faith and believe in him. Some of us are still compromising. Come on, just so we can get along with the co-workers at work, so we can be everybody. Most of us are still rolling around being everybody's friend. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Most of us are still compromising and bowing down. Come on, and letting the enemy run all over us and ruin our lives. Most of us are still trying to still trying to make it all brown nose, and it's still trying to be everybody's friend so we don't be picked on and so we won't be pointed out. Come on here now. How many of us know that there has to be a separation between the clean and the unclean? How many of us know that we are a peculiar people? We are separated by God. Come on. How many of us know? Come on. Nice don't mix with nasty, evil and wicked. It's not going to work. And when you have a relationship with God, you begin to honor the things that are of God. And if you are not truly there, I'm sorry. You might say you love God. You can say that. But when you profess his name in public, are you there yet? Are you one of those that are afraid? There are still afraid to say his name in a room full of people. Right. Think about it. We say we love God, but guess what? We don't care what he had to sacrifice. We don't care. We say we love God, but some of us, we don't believe in Jesus. We say we love God, but we don't care that Jesus laid down his life and gave his life for a ransom for our wretched, wicked selves. Come on here now, so that we can make all the mistakes that we want and blame it on grace and say God still loves us, not even caring about how God cares about your character. Let me tell you something. God cares about how you carry yourself. God cares. The truth in the matter is, in the Bible, it does state, after all this caring and sharing and love and charity, God says you can live your life the way that you want to live your life, but you will be judged by the way that you live your life. Now, let's move over to that part, because there's another portion in the Bible that says there are certain things that must be judged and will be judged. I don't care what you say. Test the spirit by the spirit. I don't care what you say. There are certain things. Let me give you an example. He told the disciples, when he sent them out to preach, he said, those that will not welcome you in their house, those that will talk against you and try to publicly persecute you, he said, use that as a testimony against them. He said, shake the dust off your feet and take your blessings back with you and use it as a testimony against them. And what we see is a lot of testimony now that we have. We have the truth about people's lifestyles, people that hold that mic, people that hold influence, people that have mega churches and large number of people that look up to them. Are being exposed right here today. Nobody said no. There's no perfect man. We understand that there's no perfect man. We know we're not all that perfect. We understand that. But there's a Bible verse that says, there's scripture that says there's a way that's right to a man in his own eyes, and that's called self-righteousness. And you'll think that you're living, your way of living is right, even though it goes against the word of God. See, we can't change that. The word never changes. You must understand it is what it is. And if it doesn't please God, it should not please you. Period, point blank. I don't care what you say. He said, my heart, in Ezekiel, he said, my heart was broken for them because they still live so blindly. They are still running around here pulling these scams. You got Cash App scams. You got people in churches and people that hold a microphone, people that go out and speak, sending messages and DMing people about Cash App scams. Come on, they still living like chickens with their, running around here like chickens with their head cut off, as if they didn't know that Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision and make it plain, as if they didn't know in the Bible that it says that he'll give you witty, he'll give you ideas and strategy, witty inventions, ideas for witty inventions that will make you a prophet. He said, if we don't know that, he said, if you keep my commandments and walk in my ways, I will bless the things that you put your hands to do. So here it is, we still lack integrity. You know why we still lack integrity? Because we still don't want to do what God has called us to do the way he's called us to do it. We still want to live the way we want. And how many know about the will of God? It doesn't work that way for us. It doesn't work. You can't keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. We don't want. It doesn't work. Your way and God's way needs to be one and the same. Bibles and the scripture says that we are all of the same spirit and all of one body. And you'll find that there's a lot going on and everything going down besides the word of God. And these are the last and the final days. These are definitely the perilous times that the Bible speak about. I believe that Jesus is coming soon. He's calling us. And here's the thing. To draw closer and nigh to him. He's calling us to have deeper relationships with him. And we still want to do things our way that profit us nothing, that could cost us everything. I'm not really talking towards to the babes in Christ because they're just learning. But for those that are more seasoned, and he opens our eyes up. And there are a lot of people that like to defend those, see, the Bible's the birds of a feather flock together. And there's a lot of people that will flock to and defend something that they don't understand. And it's foolish. It's foolish. It's dumb. And the Bible tells you that. And see, it's foolish for you to argue with somebody that's more seasoned and knows the word of God. It's foolish for you to try to talk yourself out of your salvation. It's foolish to think for you to think that you're saved, but you're in your defense, you think that, okay, well, God loves everybody. Yeah, but he hates sin. That's the truth. That's not going to change. And what did Jesus say? He said, I come to set a standard. He came so that there would be to set a difference, to show you that there is a difference, that there must be a standard. Come on here now. Come on here now. It says that in the Bible, your way and what you think may not be the way. And we know it's not the way that God thinks, because he says that it in his word. He said, my thoughts are not like your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. And so we say we saved, but once saved is not always saved. And you always have to rededicate. You need to repent. And it's something wrong with you're constantly having to repent. You don't want to overdo it. But there's something wrong there. We need to get ourselves together as the Bible, as the body of Christ. Once saved is not always saved. And there, he says, you can't serve both masters. Either you're going to love the one or hate the other. You can't straddle the fence. There's no lukewarmness. It's got to be either hot or cold. Either you is or either you ain't. Remember that? Yeah, either you is or you ain't. Either you will or you won't. Either you do or you don't. Decide. It's a decision that your lifestyle is also going to line up with the word of God. That your lifestyle is going to line up with the word of God. And listen, and it's up to you. If this word pricks your spirit, you have to decide whether or not, if the shoe fits, if you want to continue to wear it. It's up to you. Nobody's forcing you. But I'm calling you to come up. I'm calling you to have a deeper relationship with God. I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you to work harder at your relationship with God. And it's more than just what? 5 or 10 minutes a day. He should be your beginning and your end. He brought you in and he took you out. That's the word. He's your creator. You know, most people don't think the same way we do, and it's okay. I was told people don't think the same way we do, but the word never changes. And God is the same as it was yesterday, today, and he'll be the same forevermore. This is the word of God. And if you find yourself still living a compromising lifestyle, talking about grace and love, and yes, he loves us all, and you're going to say, grace don't work, it runs out. Let me tell you something. He chastised those that he loves. There's a scripture in the Bible that says you live by the sword, you die by the sword. Let me tell you something. The wages of sin is death. So you can ha, 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 he, he, and piggyback people on their back and their shoulder so you can get along with them. Jesus said, I don't have friends. He didn't come to say, I came so I could be everybody's friend. He knew he went into their synagogues to preach the word of God, sound doctrine to them. And he knew they were not going to like it. Oh, well, so that's how I feel about how you feel about your biased opinions of me. I am going to continue to do what I'm called to do regardless of whether you like it or not. It's going to be done. It's going to be said. And then I was told, oh, you judging. Well, let's get that scripture out. Let's go there. Let's see what the word says. Let me tell you something. Don't waste your time with people who claim to know everything, but they don't know nothing, but knows nothing. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Because see, they'll try to convince you. They'll try to convince you that you're wrong. They'll try to convince you. And you know what the word of God says. But oh, I know what the word of God says too. But you have no revelation and no interpretation of the word. You don't even have that sound. It's not even sound doctrine. Huh. You just made it out to be what you wanted it to be. You don't necessarily have, and that's your take on it.
John 7:24 says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteously. Proverbs 31:8-9 says, open thy mouth for thy dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. A lot of people love to quote Matthew 7:1, which says, judge not that you be judged, and still have no understanding that it still says to not judge unrighteously. Or is it saying to condemn not someone to damnation? The word is saying not to judge unjustly. Judgment is opinions, which can be positive or negative. When you judge, you are going to judge based on what you see and see, or what you hear. What you see is the outward appearance. It's like when you first meet a person, you analyze what you see and hear, which the Bible says you don't go by what you see. Now, when it comes to people, and you surround yourself with the scripture, tells us we should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Let's see, according to, let's go to 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. Let me read that to you. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. Which says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? It says, what fellowship? How can two walk together unless they agree? So what fellowship does light have with darkness? You should have no, it says you should have none with the unfruitful works of the devil. 2 Corinthians 6 and 17 says to come up from amongst them and be separate. It says come up from amongst them, not to mix and mingle. It says, wherefore come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He said, and I will receive you. 18 says, and I will be your father. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be called the sons, my sons and daughters. He said, he knows those that are his. And this is why it's important to build a relationship with God. Many people can go to church out of tradition and have no relationship with God. You can go to church 60 years and still not be saved. You can still have the same seat every Sunday and be a faithful tither and not be in the will of God, not knowing God, still living your life the same way, your way, and not having come to the full knowledge of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Never having surrendered yourself to God, still ashamed to profess his name. You may worship him privately, but will not confess him publicly. And that is not a relationship with God. Matter of fact, and those are they which Jesus speak about in Matthew 10 and 32. Let's go there because I want you to get the complete understanding of judgment. This is why it's so important. A lot of people try to come down on those that will speak the gospel, preach the gospel, and you expect the gospel to be watered down. But this is not. Living in the truth. If you come into Christ, you're either in or you're out. You're coming in truth. That means, and the Bible says he's the way, the truth, and the life. That means you're going to live the truth and the word of God. Now listen, this is what Jesus said. He said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. He said, but whosoever shall deny me before men, will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Did you hear what that said? Whosoever. So you can have you can think that you have a relationship with God. That means you're not covered. He said, whosoever will deny me, I will deny him before my Father, which is in heaven. In other words, you will not be covered. He's saying, stand up for me and stand against the opinion of the world. Now, you say you love God, and the Bible says, I know to love thy neighbor. You can love the person, but not love the sin. Let's go over here to James, because people love to use certain scriptures and twist them around certain things and as an excuse as to not to do better, and twist the scripture to make it work for them. And you can't do that. You cannot add or take anything away from what the word of God says. And we must live this, even though we're not perfect, but he's asking us. He said, remember in Deuteronomy, he said, if you keep my commandments and walk in my ways, keep my commandments. And part of his commandments is love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your might, all that is within you. That's part of it. That's look into Deuteronomy. Study that Deuteronomy. Study what it says. And because we how can we say we love God, but yet we are ashamed to profess his name, you know, before men? How can we say that we are in love with God? And here we're thinking we have relationship, and Jesus says, I'm going to have to deny you. So let's look at this. James 4:4 says, You adulterers and adulteress, know you not that the friendship of the world is an enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. He calls us adulterers. Now, even though he's married to the backslider, meaning you keep going back and forth with sin. So you say you love God. That means that you should love the things of God. Right? He says, 14, James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. But you say you love God. Let's look over here to John 4:41, because see, if you love God, you love the things that are of God. If you love God, you hate the things that displease God. The things that displease God should displease you. Okay. There were certain things that he called a sin, an abomination that does not please him, and it should not please you, because you have a relationship. When you're in a relationship with someone, how can two walk together unless they agree? Come on now, we got to get this, because a lot of people say, you're judging us. You're calling us out. You're telling us what we did wrong. God, the love of God says, he chastised those that he loves. You know what that means? He's calling you to become to know the error of your ways. I mean, unless your conscience is seared and you've been given over to a reprobate mind, how can you know? Right? Come on, somebody. You have to decide. You have to decide. Let me look at John 9:41 real quick. Just let me go here, because we're going to go back over here to James. Back over to James, which says, And Jesus said, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remain. Let's look at this 2 Peter 2 and 21. Because you say you love God, then you should love the things that are of God. And if you say you love God, what displeases God should definitely displease you. And when your eyes are open up to the truth, we're not blind. 2 Peter 2 and 21 says, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after that, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. So it's better for you not to have known better than for you to know better and still not do it. This is the word. This is truth. Nobody's judging you. This is truth. James 2 and 2. It says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Christ, the Lord of glory, with a respect of persons. For if there come unto you, unto your assembly, a man with golden ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and saith to him, sit here. Give him VIP section and sit there here in a good place. And then you say to the poor, stand over there and sit under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? Come on, somebody. Hello. Don't judge the outward appearance. There you go with that. Do not judge, for you shall be judged. Yes, God decides whether you will go to heaven or hell. God has the power. He has the final say over your life. Right? But here's the key. It says, see, here's the key. He which covereth a sinner from error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. Hear that well. Because you say, oh no, we're not supposed to judge. We're not called to judge. Judgment belongs to God. Yeah, at the end of the day, God has the final say. He decides whether or not you go to heaven or hell. Yes, it says that you can live your life the way that you want to live your life, but you will be judged by the way that you live your life. God has that final say. But listen to Romans 10 and 14 and 15, which says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How can you hear without a preacher? So nobody wants to be called out and told that they're wrong. But see, let me tell you, I serve God, not man. And yes, I made up in my mind a long time ago. See, it starts with a decision. And you have to decide within yourself if you are going to take up your cross and follow Jesus. And let me say this, no one is responsible for the way that you live your life besides you. Make sure you judge right. Yes, of course we know that. Because at the end of the day, God has the final say. And it is my purpose to steer you in the right direction. See, I have witnessed that when people have a problem with the standard of God, the word, that they have not fully submitted themselves to our Heavenly Father. See, God gives you a choice to live your life the way that you want to live your life. But you will be judged by the way that you live your life. The word of God is to give guidance and set standards for the way that you live. And as we, the people, the body of Christ, this word is to open your eyes to the truth, to build your character and to shape and to mold you into a mature Christian. Yes, you will. Yes, you will fall. Yes, there is grace and no, there is no perfect man or perfect place. But when the word said, come up from amongst them and be ye separate, that means there has to be a difference. There is a difference. There is a difference. The world, in the world, you should be able to see that you are not of it. You should be able to draw the world to you. The world should see Christ in you. God is not a respecter of persons. See, you should be able to draw the world to Christ because that's who you represent. If you don't represent Christ, then this is just religion. It's a show. It's a front. Mm-hmm. The God in you should be able to draw others in. Not your money, not your car. And if that is you, and you know that you have not fully submitted yourself to God. See, this is, church is not a social event. Response determines results. This is not a game. Your decisions determine your destiny. And the wages of sin is death. Let's look. What does Matthew 26 and 52 say? Yeah. This is not a game. Said, and then Jesus said unto them, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword perish with the sword. This is not a game. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. What you submit yourself to, what you make your God. Huh? John 17 and 16 says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Your character and your conduct must be above reproach. See, when you become closer to God, it transforms your life. Let's go back over here to James just for a second. Because see, this is that judgment. This is that rebuttal to judgment. You judging folk. This is that always talking about people, judging people. Nobody wants to be told that they're wrong. Submit yourselves. This is James 4, 7 through 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Either you're going to hate the one and love the other, but you can't continue to straddle the fence. But you say you love God. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Your backbiting, cussing, lying, cheating, stealing, whatever it is. Whatever it is. Anything that takes the place of God in your life is an idol. Your idols. Displeases God. A lot of people like to binge watch TV. And get no Bible throughout the day. You got your favorite show. You respectfully show up at the appointed time that it takes for you to get there and see it from the beginning and the end. But you cannot respectfully get up, worship the Lord, get in prayer. You find it takes too much time. Too much out of your day to be faithful to God. In your prayer life, to be faithful to God and you're worshiping to Him, to be faithful to God. I would suggest taking just a moment just to reflect on these things. Reevaluate, analyze where you are, evaluate yourself. Ephesians 6 and 17 says, and take on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Judging righteously. Judging righteously. Let's look at Hebrews 4 and 12 before we close here. Just want to break this down because a lot of people have a problem with the word of God. And when it pierces their spirit, they like to attack. 4 and 12 says, this is Hebrews For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of heart. Remember, God judges your heart. Your heart is being judged. Remember, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Ephesians 6 and 17 can be interpreted that Jesus preached the gospel even if it caused a separation. To those that believed and to those that would believe, that there's a separate, that gospel was to come to show you what it took, the error of your ways, the reason, the purpose behind his ministry. That could be interpreted, misinterpreted. Sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder. Those two scripture goes together. It does come to pierce you and prick you, to shape you and mold and build your character. Remember, the wheat has to grow with the tare, but there has to be a separation. You have to be able to determine the real ones from the fake. The wolf in sheep clothing. Last scripture that I want to indulge in here for a second. This is the last scripture. Proverbs 29 and 10 says, "The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul." Here, right up above it, it says in 29:9, it says, "If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether the rage or laugh, there is no rest." 29 and 11 says, still Proverbs, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keep it in till afterwards." People, don't get to a place where you have to debate the word of God. Stand for the truth. Continue to stand for the truth. Remember, they hate you first because they hate Jesus. They hate you because they first hated me. Remember, he said that? That they would hate you for standing for the truth and preaching the word of God. But don't let that discourage you for standing on the truth. Amen. And for those that have been in a place where they constantly cause themselves to defend themselves, and they came against the messenger, the one that came to deliver the message, the one that always had a problem. There's space to repent, because no one's judging you. Remember, the Lord loves us all, but it's a decision that we have to make. meaning it's up to us to decide. And you have to decide whether or not you're going to judge and stand for the truth. You can't serve both masters. Either you're going to hate the one and love the other. That's my time, which my time is far spent. People of God, remember, I love you with the love of the Lord, and there's nothing that you can do about it. And until next time, stay safe and be blessed.
Well, folks, remember, your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Until next time, stay safe and be blessed. Thank you for all your support.